Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your presence in this place, Lord, and just thank you for your Holy Spirit ministering, Lord, as we've worshipped. Lord, your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. And Father, we thank you that your presence came and touched. And Lord, I thank you that people got set free as they were worshipping this morning. That stuff came off people this morning just as they worshipped. I thank you that you're working in us, Lord, and through us and touching us. Father, I pray for every person here that have a fresh peace, God, a fresh joy in their heart, a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I had a great picture just as we were worshiping, and I always love those, and I was talking to Chris, and we're just sort of those points where you just stop and you can just feel the Holy Spirit, and you can feel the ministry as of the music, because the music, you know, God uses music. There's an anointing that comes through music. When Saul was under spiritual attack and feeling depressed, David would come and play, and through his music, the Holy Spirit would come, and he would feel relief. And I believe that would have been spiritual, but also physical. And so as you stand there and worship, you might be going, oh, I'm not too sure, it's not my favorite song or something like that. But as you stand there and you connect with God, there is a washing of his Spirit that happens on you. That just touches you and refreshes you. I had a picture there of some people that have been feeling a bit oppressed. You know, just a spirit of oppression. And right as you worshiped, you felt the peace of God, and that oppression disappears. Don't ever underestimate the power of just standing in God's presence and worshiping. There is something about it. The title of my message this morning is Love Like Jesus. Love like Jesus. A few weeks ago, in the last few weeks, we've sort of been doing a little bit of an unofficial series. It's an undercover series that you probably didn't know was a series, where we've just been trying to talk about things that we believe are part of the culture of our church, or that we want to be a culture of the church. And a couple of weeks ago, Eleanor talked on praise and worship as being a part of our culture, a part of who we are. And to be a worshiping church is not about the band. It's about us as people being worshiping people. Yeah. That we're people that praise God in all situations, that our proclamation is of worship and praise. And that's part of what I go, we want to be people that are passionate in worship. We love worshiping God. We love his presence. We want that to be a culture, a characteristic of church. Last week, I talked about being faithful in a summary. And I want us to be people that are faithful, that are faithful to God and are taking the next step. And this morning I want to talk about love, because I want us to be a people that love. And in a world that's been quite corrupted, and you know, I definitely think the enemy's had an agenda to corrupt love. And the whole meaning of love, and the, you know, in a sense, all the areas where love is supposed to come, the world's brought a whole lot of damage. And people that are supposed to love us at times have not loved us and haven't lived according to what God's plan is. And so I want to talk about love. Recently, I got the pleasure of taking Taylor and Hannah's wedding. And I enjoy taking weddings. And every wedding, you want to give a message that is unique. And they said to me, look, can you do a message in 2 minutes? Oh, you know, straight away I thought, mate, you're talking impossibilities for me. 2 minutes on. Now, I've exaggerated a little bit, but it was three. They gave me three. On something for them. And the thing I got was feed your love. And it was just this concept that love needs to be fed. And that a lot of us are starving love. And we're starving even in our relationships because we don't feed the love. You've got to feed your love. And how do you feed your love? Well, there's lots of things that do to feed your love. And things like how you talk, how you speak to one another, that you say, I love you. In fact, let's just practice it. If your spouse is sitting next to you, why don't you just tell them, I love you. Lee just told Nathan he loved them. It's an expression that you've got to feed it. So your words are feeding the love in your relationship today. You are feeding love, and touch is part of feeding that. Gifts feed it. All sorts of things feed the love in your life. And here's my question: is the love in your relationship starving? Is it is the love in your relationship malnourished? That's the one. What's your love like? Are you feeding it? And you know, if you want your love to grow, then the more you feed it, the more it'll grow. Yeah. And we watch all around. People are going, "Oh, I'm not loved." Well, are you feeding your love in your relationship? But I think that's not just the same for a marriage, because everybody's going, who's not married, is going, "Oh, there's another sermon that's just for marriage." No, I think in every situation you've got to feed your love. In your family, in every person, you know, because you've got to feed love in all its relationships. If you start ignoring people in your family, then you'd start to disconnect. But you feed it by sending them a text, "Hey, I'm just thinking of you, I hope you're having a good day. Oh man, I was just thinking of you, and this is what I felt God say to you." That feeds the love. You know, the greatest witness is that we live a transformed life that looks like Jesus, and that we love people. I think one of the things that our church has been called to is to love people. Increase the messages were loud and clear about loving people. We want people to go, "I know that person's a Christian by their love. They can ascertain it." In fact, I wonder whether a lot of our evangelism doesn't always work because we really don't show the love we need to show. So in John 13, if you've got your Bible this morning, John 13, verse 34, says this: "So now I'm giving you a new commandment." This is Jesus talking. And he's saying, "I'm giving you a new commandment." Well, it's actually not a new commandment. It's not, but he's calling it a new commandment. Love each other. "Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Yeah. Do you know, I wonder whether our lack of love is one of the reasons we don't prove to the world that we're his disciples. Because this is the proof. The proof that you're a disciple of Jesus is how much you love. In Ephesians, I just put here, "Is there enough proof of your love for you to be convicted of being a disciple?" Wow. Is there enough proof in the way that you live that people go, that person has to be a Christian? I can just tell by the love that comes out of them, the way they talk, what they do. Ephesians 5:1, let me read this to you. "Imitate God." Have you ever thought that you are required to imitate God? "Therefore, in everything you do," so everything, I always like these words that are quite, there's no room, wiggle room into it. It's not imitate God as much as possible. As much as possible. No, this is in everything you do. So this is a 24/7, 7 days a week. Imitate God. Isn't it funny? It's easy to do here at church. It's easy to smile to the person next to you. "Oh, I love you." With the love of the Lord, of course. But do you imitate it all through? Can people sense your love for them? In everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Ephesians 5:1 in the Message. Let me read to you in the Message. "Watch what God does, and then you do it." That's pretty clear, isn't it? You do it. "Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents." You hope they learn proper behavior from your parents, don't they? Okay, but let's assume that they do. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ's love does. His love was not cautious but extravagant. There's a good thought. Are you cautious in love? Are you cautious when it comes to love, or is your love extravagant? How would I know that you're extravagantly in love with God? Does it show? Are you enthusiastic? I think that's a sign that you're in love with God. I mean, look, you're all doing well because you shunned the test this morning and came to church with deep enthusiasm, didn't you? Going, I don't care about the rugby. Who cares about this? I'm here with enthusiasm. Is that right? All the people who hate rugby are going, yeah, of course I was. Yeah, of course. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. Can you love like that? That's our challenge. The world has corrupted love. The devil has abused and defamed and poisoned love. The people who in the world that should love and protect have abused and manipulated those who love. The enemy has distorted love. So many in life have never experienced love, pure, unadulterated love, unconditional love, God's love. The way they experience God's love is through you and me. You know the number one thing everybody should say about Christians? Man, they really love people. Man, I know I'm loved by those people. In fact, they should be able to see that from the church, but in a sense, most people's concept of the church is not a place of love. It's a place of judgment. A place where people pick out your faults. A place where everybody looks unhappy. They go into that church and they come out looking really unhappy. I hope not. I think we've got to change the picture. It has been said that the greatest need of a person is to love. We often say, oh, the greatest need is to be loved. But actually, the greatest need is to love. You are made to love. You are made to love, and you feel empty when you don't love. And of course, we are made to be loved. What do you love? Who do you love? How much do you love? How much do you love God? Can you measure it? Is it measurable? Is your love quotient measurable? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love? If everybody had to, in your family, had to assess you on love, how well would you do? How much do you love people? If it's a choice between things and people, what's your choice? I think Jesus gives us a great example of how he loved. And I just want to go through a couple of examples to go, I think this is our challenge if we want to be people that love. And this is how I believe Jesus showed love. We show love by being aware of the people around us, by being there. I can always remember once being at, it was like a parachute festival. Well, it was parachute festival. And I was standing there having this conversation with a friend that I knew quite well, but we hadn't seen each other and we were just talking. And in the distance, I saw somebody else that I thought, oh, I really want to catch up with that person. I haven't seen them for ages. And I can remember suddenly seeing myself walking and thinking, did I say goodbye to that other person? I can't even remember whether I finished that conversation. And we've all experienced it. You've experienced the conversations when the person's talking to you or you're talking to them and you can see they're not there. There's no one home. They're miles away. I think you show people that you love them by being there, by being aware of them, by having an awareness that they feel like they're the only person in the room. And I think that's what Jesus did. Jesus was aware of what was going on. When he's walking in Matthew 9 and the lady reaches out and touches him, he's aware. Oh, somebody needs me, somebody, right? And you know, the picture is that Jesus sort of goes, hey, someone touch me. And all the disciples are going, mate, we're in a big crowd. Everybody's pushing in here. What are you going on about? No. Someone, I'm aware. How aware are you of the people around you? You know, in this world, there's a whole lot of people that walk around feeling invisible. No one ever says hello to them. No one ever smiles at them. They feel invisible. We should be the people that see. We need God to help us to see people. Not to see them for anything, but just to love them and to let them know they're there. See, when Jesus saw this lady, this compassion flowed out. I mean, look, he had a busy schedule. He was on his way to Jairus' house because, you know, the emergency was that Jairus' daughter was really sick. And, you know, Jesus is, you know, and I'm sure they were all bustling him along. Come on, man, we've got to get to this guy's house. His daughter's really sick. She's going to die. And in that moment, he goes, hold on. There's another person here that needs my attention. How well do you give people your attention? I mean, I've heard it said, love is to listen. It's to look at a person and express that hey, man, I love you. Sometimes we are so busy, so preoccupied that people are throwing us aside in our quest for things. Do the people you work with, do they know that you love them? Just by the way you talk to them. Do you see everybody? Do you know everybody in your work? Or are the only the people that are really loud or that you really like are the ones that you know? This is how we love people. We see them. Jesus was always there, always aware of the people around him. Father, we need to be aware of the people around us. We show love by being approachable. Are you approachable? Do people come up to you? Jesus must have been approachable because children love being around him. Children know who they can approach and who they can't. They can just tell by looking. Do children ever come up and just start talking to you? For me, that's a reflection of your love. If you've got love and you've got this big smile on you, they're going to go, man, I want to chat to that. In Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them and he healed the sick. Jesus had this way of just reaching out and touching people. You know, I was thinking about the Samaritan woman in John 4 where you know, Jesus is all tired. The disciples have, you know, they've had a bit of a trek and he's hungry and he goes, man, I just need some food. And they go, right, we'll just go into the city. And he sits down at a rock and starts speaking to a Samaritan woman. Do you know, I started thinking about this and going, why did this woman feel that there was something different? It had to be more than the words that he said. Yeah. You know, the words that he said was, oh, could I have some water? And her response is a response of, hold on, why are you talking to me? You guys don't usually talk to me. But I think it was more than just talking. Because you can go, can I have some water, please? And that person can feel your anxiety. They can feel what you think. Jesus must have said it in such a polite way. There must have been something in his voice that made this lady go, why are you talking to me? You know, there's a difference between talking at people. I'm spitting a lot. Hopefully I'm not talking at you. And talking to someone. There's a huge difference in tones in how something said. Jesus must have talked to this lady with such a voice of compassion, with a smile on his face. That must have warmed this lady to him. He had to have done more than just spoken some words. It must have been in his whole expression. Do people pick up your warmth by your expression and the way you talk things? Did you know that your voice tone shows love? Just think about how you talk to your husband or your wife. Or maybe it's easier. Let's think about when you were first in love, because that's probably the way you talk to them. It's so different to how you talk to other people. There is this tone, this way that you talk that shows love. How do you talk to your children? Is your tone different when there's no one else around compared to when the friends come around? Is the way you talk to your family or to your spouse different when people are around? It shouldn't be. The love should come through regardless. In fact, for a lot of us, the reason we have trouble communicating with people is that we come across angry all the time. We come across full of angst. It comes in your tone. It's, you know, it's not what you say often, it's the way you say it. Your voice. A smile indicates how approachable you are. If you're walking along and you need directions, you know, every now and again, although nowadays we don't need anyone, we've got our phones and we can get our direction there. But if you're walking and you want some information and there's two people walking towards you and one person's smiling and one person looks angry and upset and very, who are you going to approach? You're not going to approach that angry person. You're going to, oh, this person looks nice. Well that, look, that's how people can read whether you love people or not. How much do you smile? I went away and spent some time last week, or the week before, in Oxford Falls doing a senior pastor's masterclass. And do you know one of the main things I came back with? We don't smile enough. Yeah. No wonder people don't want to be Christians. You look so grumpy sometimes. Oh, not you. I mean... Come on, so many of you need to smile because it would make a world of difference to your whole world. A world of difference to your whole world. If you smiled more. If you haven't got friends, can I tell you, it's probably because you don't smile. Friendship is all about you giving to people. It's not about you taking. If you stand there waiting, well, if they just came up and talked to me, I'd be okay. Well, of course they're not going to come up to you. You look so grumpy and unhappy. You've got, honestly... I think this is why so many Christians, you know, I didn't finish my sentence there, but I just got this thought. We were known as happy clappies back in the 70s. How many people were a Christian in the 70s? We were known as a happy clappy that swung from the light shades. Why was that? Because you were happy. When's the last time someone called you a... Oh, you're one of those happy clappy people. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a little thing. No, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. The reason most people don't want to become Christians is that we don't look like we're very happy with being a Christian. Are you the one people come up to? Because you've got a great smile. And don't tell me, oh, that's just for sanguines. No, we can all smile. We can all be approachable. Did you know that people learn more from people they like than the people they dislike? I can tell you that your kids, if they like the teacher at school, will learn far more than the teacher that they don't like. The teacher that's friendly and smiles gets way more traction in teaching than the other. And I know it from church. I know the people that I want to go talk to. Julie Paneri. Yeah. If you don't know Julie, is she here today? I haven't seen her. She's in Whanganui. Do you know that when I preach, I can see Julie? She's got this great big smile. She's nodding. It does something to me. When you talk to Julie, you can just feel... that you're the only person in the room and that she loves you. And it's just, it's the Holy Spirit through her. She just carries it. I want to go talk to Julie. She's always encouraging. She's full of life. She carries something. We all should be exactly the same. I shouldn't be able to pick one person out and go, that person's really, I could go, mate, you all do it. You all do it. There is something about it, and that's the Holy Spirit within that sort of touches people. I'm convinced the Holy Spirit moves through everything that's a part of us. They can see it. They can feel it. They can hear it. God in us comes out through everything that we do. The way we say things, there's love in it. And I think, man, we've got to be better at this. Laugh more. Did you know that one of the indications of love is to laugh?
Yeah.
When people are in love, they laugh together. Someone was talking the other day, and I'm not a big Friends. In fact, I don't think I've really even watched the whole Friends episode right through. But someone was telling me that in Friends, one of the guys, I think is there a Joey and there's a Chandler. One of them was going after the Jennifer. Anyhow, you all know the people. I don't know the people, but here they are. And he liked her, but he was worried that one of the girls was talking to another guy. And he was really, really concerned. And he goes to his mate, so when you were watching them, did they kiss or anything like that? Nah, it's worse than that, mate. What? They're laughing together. The indication, the truth in that when people are laughing together, there's a connection. How often do you laugh? I mean, look, some people are naturally funny. Some people you just have to look at and you burst out laughing. But laughter connects you.
Yeah.
Laughter glues you together.
Yeah.
I think the Holy Spirit's in laughter.
Yeah.
In fact, someone else saying the other day that in heaven, when you often talk to people who have had experiences going to heaven, they talk about laughter. It's one of those things that heaven's full of, laughter. That's where the Holy Spirit is. How often do you laugh? How often do you laugh in your family? How often do you laugh at work? Laughter, it's a sign of love. It's a divine characteristic. Laughter. At church, we need to laugh a lot. It's good for us. I think it shows love.
Yeah.
We smile, we laugh. More people will come up to you and ask you what's the difference with you just if you had smiled and laughed more. Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
What? Everybody goes, well, you know, when people say hello, I often say, they go, how are you? And I go, oh, I'm exceptionally good. Oh, are you? Because they don't expect you to be happy all the time. Consistently. Now, look, I know there's some troubles in our lives. I know there's some hard things, but this is the thing that we've got to go. We've got to go get joy from God.
Yeah.
Joy is something that's deep within.
Yes.
And you can be in the most dire straits and going, man, I've still got a peace and a joy in God.
Yeah.
We show love by being full of grace. You know, the woman caught in adultery, all she felt was the grace of Jesus. That was the love of Jesus. It comes through in grace. Love for people will result in grace for people. Do people know you as someone who's full of grace? Or do they know you as someone who's full of judgment? Who's never happy with what they've done? Who always looks sad and annoyed with everybody? You know, often we need to get a paradigm shift on people. We've got to learn to go, man, there's more to this person that I see. And often people that are hard on the exterior and come across, there's always something in their story.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I think would help us to show people we'd love is that we'd listen to their story. Rather than trying to tell them ours,
yeah.
We'd listen to their story. And I've told this story before, but I'm always challenged by the seek first to love, or seek first to understand, then to be understood. I think it's 7 Habits of Highly Affected People. And he tells the story of a paradigm shift. And I've talked about it before, but I'll say it again because I think it illustrates how much things change when you know more about a person. And he's on his way to, on a train trip, going from his house to the office in the morning like he does every day. And he says, you know, when you travel every day on your hour trip, you end up with the same people in the carriage all the time, and everybody just gets used to it there. And he says, you know, in our carriage, there'd be people reading the paper, there'd be some people having a sleep, there would be some people that were, you know, just working on their computers, but everybody's there. And he said, you know, this one day we're in the train going along and everything's really, really lovely. And this guy gets onto the train with 2 children. And the 2 children, you know, the train door closes and train takes off. And these 2 kids start annoying everybody in the carriage. They're whacking people's newspapers. They're yelling. And he said, I can feel the tension in the train as everybody starts to go, why doesn't this guy do something about his kids? And he says, I'm sitting there and here's this guy next to me. And he's just sort of looking down. He's ignoring his children, and I'm getting really mad at this guy because why won't he do something with his kids? His kids are really annoying these people. And he says it goes on a bit further, and now, you know, these kids are yelling and screaming, and he says after 20 minutes, he says, I couldn't take it any longer. I just couldn't. I said I had to say something to the guy, and I turned to this guy and I go, hey mate. And he sort of comes around and he goes, mate, can't you see that your kids are really annoying everybody on the train here? And he said, his response was this, oh, sorry, we've just come from the hospital where my wife's died and I suppose we don't know how to handle it. There is this change, this paradigm shift change that, hold on a minute, I didn't know his story. I was just judging from what I could see. He was a bad parent. He wasn't looking after his kids. Hold on, no, that changes the whole picture. The picture's changed. Here's somebody that is going through something. I need to have compassion. And that's my question to you. Are you full of grace with people? Often people's first reaction is out of the hurt that they've had, especially if they don't know you. It's out of their anger. It's out of what's in their spirit. Do you know their story? Do you know all the stories of the people that you work with or the school, at school, your friends? Do you know their story? It would change your whole perception of people if you knew their story. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been doing testimonies. We've been doing My Story on Sunday nights. And when you hear someone's story of what they've gone through, it changes. You have a paradigm shift. You change. You go from being a judgmental so-and-so to being someone full of compassion and go, wow. Judgmental people. I hated the church known as judgmental. I wanted the church to be known as a place full of grace. Man, you can go there. It doesn't matter what you're like. You could go to that church. They're full of grace. They're not going to judge you as you walk in the door. They're not going to put you in a box. They're going to love you. They're going to talk to you. Look, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us all because it takes a dying to self. Judgmental people have no grace. Legalistic people have no grace. Angry people have no grace. If you've got those things, then I'd say deal with them. Go to God and say, God, I need to help me with these. Help me to see. You see, if we saw how God saw people, we'd have no problem loving. The problem is that we see how we see. Always be full of grace. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We show love by being self-giving, being selfless, dying to self. Jesus challenged the disciples before he'd even been to the cross to take up their cross and follow him. Our default of our nature is selfish. The default of you and me is to think about me. We want to think about ourselves. But the whole Holy Spirit is a whole thing where I die to myself. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I don't live for myself. I live for Christ. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. God is selfless. Gave up his self for you. This is the test of love. The love test. Are you ready to take a test? Got your pen and paper? You can mark yourself out of 10. You can do it mentally. That's fine. Okay, here's the first one. The love test goes this. Love is patient and kind. How patient and kind are you? Out of 10. I should say no fives because that's in the middle. You don't have fives. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Out of 10. Love does not demand its own way. Oh, this is hard, isn't it? Love is not irritable. Oh my goodness. It keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't say, you always do this, or last time you did that. There's no record, it's blurred out. Are you getting this, darling? Just on my record, I'm just saying. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. Love never gives up. Have you given up on someone? Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. You know, the thing about this, and it's 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4, is that we often put it into our marriages, but I go, look, it's not just a marriage, it's in our way that we live. Love is shown in how patient I am with my workmates or my school friends. It's a thing that comes out. Love equals forgiveness. Love equals patience. Love equals dying to self. And the answer is that we need more of God. Romans 5:5 says this, and this is the hope, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. If you want an answer for you and me to love people more, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, I always jump the other way and go, so if I'm not loving people, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't know whether that's a doctrinal question. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with love. Have a look at your life and go, what is my area that I need to sort out and work that would show that I love people more? What I want you to do is just close your eyes just as Joanne plays. And I'm going to read you 1 John 4, verses 7 to 16. I'm just going to read it, so maybe not put it up on the screen. And I just want you to close your eyes and go, God, I need your help to do this. It says here, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we've loved God, but that he's loved us. And sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. God, we need your Holy Spirit in us to bring that to full expression. That people sense the love that we have. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And we know how much God loved us, and we put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love the people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? And He has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Father, when we hear Your word and we look in the mirror of Your word, we know we need You. And Father, right now I just thank You for Your love for every person here. Lord, help us to be a church that loves. Help us to be people that love.